Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Really enjoyed the conversation, Nancy, and appreciate you having us on.
Thank you so much for having us and for your votes of confidence and positivity and putting good vibes out there for us in terms of that goal of being an enduring company that's here to help people. We really appreciate that love and support.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today's mentor guests co-founded Habit Aware out of a habit formed by stress and anxiety that started innocently and kind of evolved into a very debilitating kind of experience that 21 million Americans are experiencing. Samir Kumar and Anila Idnani live in Minnesota, and they're here to describe more about their extraordinary entrepreneurial journey that they founded their company in 2017 and to be where they're at with two different products that they've already put on the marketplace. Anila and Samir co-founded Habit Aware in 2017, and they also added two other co-founding partners. So John Pritchard handles the lead hardware engineer development, and Kirk Klobe. He is the chief technology officer, and they've developed hand gesture detection technologies in the form of two different types of smart bracelets called Keen and Keen 2. The Keen bracelet tracks hand motions and is designed with love to help those who are suffering from BFRB and curb their compulsive hand habits. One in 20 people, or like I said, 21 million Americans, have body-focused repetitive behaviors like hair pulling, skin picking, and nail biting. And the scientific names are trichotillomania, which is for the compulsive hair pulling, which is what Anila is experiencing, and dermatillomania, which is excessive skin picking, and onychophagia, which is chronic nail biting. You also have a podcast series called Love, Strength, and Awareness to expand the community and the reach of those who are experiencing body-focused repetitive behaviors as a way in which they can get ongoing resources. And you've got a newsletter that also helps with that. So I was at the Minnesota Cup Awards presentation when you both won the 2018 category of Mental Health Tech Startup Award. So I was thrilled to be part of your experience because it's such a unique area that you're developing a technology in, and it's out of a ton of love for everybody and for yourselves. So today we're focusing on their entrepreneurial journey and also delving into a little bit about self-love. So welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Hi, Anila.
Hello. Good to be here.
Okay, good. So in our first conversation, you gave our audience a picture of what the startup process have been, kind of how you grew up in your families. You each grew up with one other sibling. You both have just really evolved into quite amazing people. You've got two kids of your own now, and you first met in Miami and ended up finding your way to Minnesota and the startup communities here, the Minneapolis Twin Cities startup communities, and kind of developed from your recognition that your hair pulling became very compulsive and you came to terms with it over a 20-year period of time. And the loving environment that you've been in between the two of you helped you, Anila, with kind of coming to terms with it for yourself. The focus of today's conversation is continuing with your entrepreneurial journey and also the self-love that you put in practice at Habit Aware. So in the words of Kristen Neff, who's a PhD pioneering in self-compassion and an author of Self-Compassion, The Proven Power of Being Kind to Yourself, she says that love, connection, and acceptance are our birthright. And a standard definition of self-love is a state of appreciation for oneself that grows from actions that support our physical, psychological, and spiritual growth. Self-love means having a high regard for your own well-being and happiness, writes Jeffrey Bornstein, who's a medical doctor and president and CEO of the Brain and Behavior Research Foundation. So Jeffrey writes that self-love means accepting yourself as you are in this very moment for everything that you are. It means accepting your emotions for what they are and putting your physical, emotional, and mental well-being first. Self-love means taking care of your own needs and not sacrificing your well-being to please others, which I find is very, very difficult. You know what you want and don't want and what's okay and what's not okay. But also when it comes to compulsive behaviors, it's kind of digging in deeper of what's underneath that. Do you think, Anila, I keep thinking about, you know, the tragic death of your dad when you were so young in your teens, and you said that that's kind of when the hair pulling started. Do you feel it's connected with your dad's death?
For sure. I think it was a really hard time. And, you know, to your point about what self-love is in terms of taking care of your needs, I wasn't given the tools to do that in a healthy way. I wasn't taught the tools. I wasn't shown the tools. And so this was how, you know, hair pulling was how I dealt with the scenario. And it's how I continued to deal with my anxious thoughts and ruminations, if you will. I think what you had said before about sacrificing your well-being for others, like I am a giver and I'm a perfectionist. And so that's where I put my energy is into pleasing others and making sure it's absolutely correct. and so I wound up probably focusing more on what society told me I needed instead of what I needed, you know, in terms of like, I need to have good grades. I need to have a good career. I need to work hard for those things. And so that always put others first and me last. And that's kind of just how I lived life. And it's really only in starting Habit Aware and understanding that lack of self-love, that lack of self-worth, that lack of high regard for myself is probably plays a role in the root causes of my hair pulling. It's the language that I speak to myself that is very critical. And so, yeah, I think that it's been really eye-opening for me because I've learned that it's not just about the movement of the hand and learning to control that, but it's learning to control the mind and what the mind is telling you as a person, the language that you're using, how you talk to yourself, and how if you can change those things and if you can give space to taking care of your needs, then you slowly require less and less of hair pulling, skin picking, nail biting.
And with a burgeoning company and with two young kids, age 3 and 7, and a really great partner, how are you managing your mind and your thoughts, or what practices are helping you stay kind of grounded in yourself?
Yeah, it's really been, it's been hard. It's been a struggle. It's been a work in myself of constant improvement to figure that out, to spend the last few years in building Habit Aware and figuring out what does it mean for me to take care of Anila? What are the things that when I do them, I feel good? And for me, I've learned that, again, looking back at my child self, I find a lot of joy in doing art, anything related to art, crafts, that kind, you know, painting or collaging, etc. And then I also am finding that I really enjoy just walking and reading books about religion and spirituality and, you know, positive things. And so that's what I'm trying to incorporate into my life and to give space in my life for those things.
And since you've been using Keen yourself, how has the development within your mind changed or shifted?
Yeah, so what Keen did for me was really help me understand my hair pulling behavior and specifically the triggers behind it, which were really centered around stress, anxiety, the need for perfection, as well as kind of, as I was talking before, I really like to work at night. That's sort of my, when my mind can focus on work, but it's also when my automatic brain is kind of also seeking relief and soothing from the work itself. And so my hands are more restless during those times. So recognizing that, acknowledging that, trying to shift and move up my work to a little bit more reasonable nighttime hours so that I'm getting to bed at, you know, 11:30, 12 instead of 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. And also being able to, you know, shut the computer down and put my hands to rest as well so that I'm not pulling, and really learning that, learning the behavior and the data behind it, the triggers behind it, allows me to then create the right strategy protocol so that I am taking care of myself.
Mm. And how long do people wear the bracelet?
So for everyone, it's different. It's there are people that wear it every day. You know, there are people that have worn it for a few months, built up their awareness, built up their understanding of their relationship to their behavior. And now, as one customer says, I only wear it when my mother-in-law comes over, kind of thing, where like they absolutely know that they're going into a stressful situation and they need that backup. But really the goal is to help people build awareness, teach them the skills so that over time they're getting to the point where it's within themselves. And it already is within themselves. We're just trying to bring it to the forefront.
Yeah. And because we take our needs and care for ourselves in different ways, self-love in practice kind of looks different for each person. So I've kind of noticed by observing those who are practicing self-love, three things that they seem to have in common: a love of self, like that expands their ability to love others, which leads into kind of a full acceptance of themselves, gives others implicit permission to really accept themselves. So like when you're setting good boundaries and taking care of yourself, it kind of gives another person an opportunity to also set different boundaries. And there's also a deep desire to sustain the connection that you have with yourself. So once you start feeling more deeply and within yourself and acknowledging the feelings that you're noticing and using it as a way to kind of determine where you are and what you want to do with those feelings, that through that process, you really, and when you feel that and notice the positive impacts of that, you feel more grounded in yourself and feel like you can navigate better in the world and control how you want to handle yourself in different situations. The more you're practicing these, noticing, you know, going deeper into self-love, the more you can expand it in different ways or re-engage your mind in a different way to say, it's okay for me to feel, or it's okay for me to stop what I'm doing right now and just get a sense of why I'm doing it. Or, yeah. So before I keep going, I really want to hear more from you two. And Samir, we can start with you. How do you define self-love?
You know, for me, it is not perpetuating or trying to get a handle on the things that I do myself that make my life worse, you know, that are, and so for me, it's, you know, I find that when I dwell on mistakes or setbacks, it can really just, it's not productive. You know, there's certainly some learnings, but it doesn't have to come with the negative self-speak that, you know, it can. And so, you know, one thing I've tried really hard to do over the last few years is not to dwell on mistakes, you know, and focus on moving forward. And I also try to take time each day to just let my mind unwind and not focus on work or anything, you know, that you would typically think of as being very productive. And so I need, you know, for me, I find that I do need that time, and that allows me to actually have restful sleep and wake up and focus on what I need to get done.
Yeah. And what would you say that you've learned about self-love that's different than how you used to view it before? Is it, or wasn't it, it was something, did you take for granted, or how did that?
Yeah, I think I first heard the term probably not too long ago, you know, a couple of years. But I believe that I've been practicing a lot of the ideas for a number of years. You know, for me, I think a focus on what's making me feel productive and happy has been, you know, throughout my career. So, you know, I think it's nice to have a name for what it is and understand that it is important, and not being selfish. So yeah. I think that's been important.
Yeah. Well, it's just been over the last 10 years where there have been thousands and thousands and thousands of studies that are on the positive parts, different aspects of positive psychology. The field has really like blown up over the last 10 years. And that's why we're starting to see so much communication and classes on self-compassion and empathy and self-love. I don't think I ever heard the term self-love until I was like, you know, well beyond college. So, you know, now people are talking about it more and more. Anila, how do you define self-love? You were mentioning it before, but
I mean, for me, self-love is showing yourself appreciation. I mean, and even before you can show yourself appreciation, you have to acknowledge your own existence and your talents and your abilities, and focus on the good parts of you. And to your point, I don't think it's things that these concepts of self-love, empathy, compassion, we're not really taught that stuff. As a child, you're constantly told, no, don't do that. You know, like the focus on what you're doing wrong, which as a child you may construe as I am wrong. And then you kind of grow up with those thoughts. And so self-love to me is really the thoughts that you think about yourself too, the language that you use to talk to yourself.
Yeah, and Brené Brown talks about in a culture where we've all grown up in shame, there are things that are in our culture that make us all feel bad about ourselves, that we're not good enough to be here, that we should be questioning our existence. And so if we've all been shamed, then how, you know, why do some people fare better than others? And one of the things you're talking about is acknowledging the good parts of yourself and that you are a good person, and kind of unpacking the shame, you know, adding in appreciation and bringing it out into the forefront so that you can kind of reconstruct it and say, well, what I learned from this experience was, and this is how I'm going to plug in and do it differently. Having practices that are daily where you take a moment to offer yourself some compassion for some big decision, or turning it inward to say, you know, how am I supporting self-love in my life? And then as a leader, how are you role modeling it for your children, for others that you're leading and those that you're mentoring and your larger community of people that are connected through Habit Aware? So how do you support the practice of self-love, Samir?
You know, for me, I think with others, I guess there's, you know, with Anila, I think it's really important for me to take time for myself. And so I try and suggest that she does that as well, you know, rather than, you know, we get home Friday and all weekend is spent, you know, doing all the things we couldn't get to during the week. So we're running around with all the errands, with kids stuff, etc. And on occasion, I'll say, hey, let me take the kids and why don't you take some time? And the few times that she accepts that offer, I feel good.
I have FOMO. Hang out with you guys.
And so, I think we're still working on that, how we can, how I can better foster her self-care.
Yeah.
With the kids, I think we're both actively working on fostering a positive and growth mindset with them and actually teaching them the tools that we've become intimately familiar with over the last 4 years in behavior change. And so that's everything. And Neil does a great job of this with just, reading the right books to my older son, who can have a bias towards being negative or finding things in his head that just get stuck there.
I think it's really shown us that some of it is biological and some of it is learned. And it's, that question of like nature versus nurture and how we are predisposed to think a certain way and how if we work at it and nurture ourselves or nurture our children, we can help change that. We can, with that practice, we can improve our ability to show self-love. And so that's what we try to do is just, give space for mistakes, allow them to be heard as much as we can try to understand where they're coming from. And this is with our kids, but also with the team that we're building at HabitAware and with other people in the community that we try to support, is just encourage their interests and try to get to know them on that deeper level so that there's more of a connection just than the surface of, like I was saying before, with just make sure you're meeting those societal needs, not the needs that you have for yourself.
Yeah, right. We use a term in our household, HALT. So we learned this from another yoga instructor. If you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, take a step back and reassess what your next, words are going to be coming out of your mouth. but it gives us, that because we can halt and stop for a moment, then we can also then readjust and say, and it's kind of funny, like, it becomes these funny ways in which you connect with each other and interact. It becomes a little bit more playful as you support each other because of the intensity of some of these emotions, to have places or ways in which you can relieve some stress or some tension with a little bit of humor, but also with some things that support, the boundaries that you're trying to set and build with each other, that deeper level of connection. I also notice in developing deeper, especially with relationships with your significant other, every time we reach a deeper level of understanding within ourselves, for me, there's like this little volcano, because it affects, there's like a ripple effect with the other person in the relationship. I can't avoid the little volcano that erupts, like, oh my God, with this new awareness about myself, is it going to ruin my relationship with Matthew, or my relationship with Olivia and how I parent? Or is it going to, affect how I'm working with Mike? So I just found that it's a good sign when I'm having these aha moments in myself, because it gets to a deeper level of truth that you can share with the other person, which then you feel like you can grow closer in relationship with each other. But it also means, setting different boundaries. And have you noticed that in your relationship, where you set different boundaries when you have a new, awareness about yourself?
Yeah, I think that definitely is comes up in the sense that, in starting HabitAware, this idea of awareness of being more mindful of our, to your point, of halt, right? Not just our actions, but what's feeding those actions. And so I think we're both going through that process right now of recognizing what are the things that make us tick in a way. And so we are working to create new boundaries. And like I was saying before, as one of those lessons of respecting each other's work styles and stuff, and trying to, you know, finally kind of putting that stuff together that, oh, if this, then that. And so working through the mechanics of that to make sure that we are available to each other when we need each other, but also recognize, like Samir was saying before, like, I can see you need time for yourself, take it. And yet there's that piece of me that's still like, oh, but I can't leave you. I can't take that time. There's too much other stuff to do or whatever it is. And so working through those boundaries and trying to learn to say, to accept those offers and
prioritizing and, those yeah. things that yeah, are important exactly. to you. Yeah. Yeah. I can totally hear that. Yeah. And that when you are struggling with something, like especially that has a compulsive nature to it, it's the dynamic that's created around it. You aren't your compulsion. It's something that you you're in charge of. And that, yes, it does affect your relationships with people. But more importantly and more critically of why you're changing is because you want to keep growing as an individual. You don't want your life to continue to be smaller and take less risks. You're wanting to take the risks that you want to take and continue to grow. And in a small business, especially an entrepreneurial company with a new innovation, the pressure to go fast is really, really great. Like, you know, keeping up and moving. And I just see so many entrepreneurs lose themselves, you know, and become a victim to their venture. And so it takes deliberate action. And that's why, like, you're wanting to talk about self-love and access and feel and experience the different levels of it to keep learning about yourself, but also to stay in charge of the pace that you're going mm-hmm. as a business. I think this is the creative flair that's within entrepreneurial companies that's kind of fun, is to play around the edges of, you know, the pace. Well, if we go this direction and ramp up the speed, you know, how might that feel? How might that affect everybody? We know that we can't just grow crazily without any vision, because that doesn't feel right. But what are the things that we can control about the pace that we go at? And what is out of our control, and that we just need to be responsive to it? Does that relate to either one of you?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the nature of technical development, there's always these seasons of quick speed and, you know, then kind of the falling back and seeing what happens kind of scenario. And so I think it's not a question of maintaining a specific speed, but recognizing what's happening and what's needed and slowing down and speeding up as necessary.
Yeah. Right, because you're testing out the demand. And like
exactly.
you just released Keen 2, and if I understand it, your bracelet's already sold out, and you're just delivering it during the month of February?
Yeah, we will be actually starting to ship in April now due to just some manufacturing slowdowns in China due to rising COVID cases and them shutting down the government shutdowns there. So our timelines are a little bit pushed, but that's, again, you know, to this point of pace, sometimes things are just out of our control and we have to go with the pace that we're given. That also allows us time now on the software side to, you know, add some additional features that we were hoping to get to, or, you know, obviously software development's an ongoing thing. That's kind of the goal, is that we all are given the same amount of time, and it's just a matter of how much can we accomplish with that, whether you have more teammates or different methods to be productive. And so I think we've all individually need to find the pace that works for us, but then also collectively, and then also recognize it's not in our control sometimes.
Yeah. And I wanted to reinforce that the paranoia, Samir, that you had mentioned, it seems mm-hmm. to accompany every entrepreneur.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. And so it's the not letting it grow. I mean, that's one of the things that, like perfectionism, that can take you in a direction that's really uninteresting.
Yeah. Totally. I think that's a great word, uninteresting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's in small doses, they're both good. They help you stay on your toes and create a good product that you're proud of. But in too much, it creates fogginess.
So how do you come together with your different approaches that seem to really complement each other, but they can also, it can create some friction. It depends upon, kind of your perspective. Sometimes we want to get into judgment about how someone comes about, like in their work style. But in financial terms, do you have regular money meetings? Do you trust each other with in the conversations about money? How do you work together with your finances or work apart?
From a personal perspective?
From both. Yeah. It's kind of, it's separate. I mean, if you're comfortable sharing that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say from a personal perspective, Samir's got a background in hedge fund management. And so I don't know what value I can add to the management of our finances. I think, when it comes to big investments or purchases, where it's always a discussion or, that kind of thing. But I think there's just a trust and an understanding. I do some of the bills, he does some of the bills, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we mostly it's we're fortunate, I think, to be on kind of like bills are just set them automatic, and we don't have a lavish or extravagant lifestyle that puts stress on that stuff. So I think it's taking care of itself for the most part. And then, from the business perspective, that mostly does fall on me as well, just as being the kind of the administrator of the business, where we want our technical folks just focused on that. We really want Anila focused on being the voice of the customer and on product. And so, the business finances are, we manage them similarly, where, we try, and everything's been quite disciplined, I think, from the start. We've operated extremely leanly, and we're trying to get out of that so we can invest to grow a little bit. But I think that we're trying to figure out what the right balance is with, between me and discussions with the team, but also discussions with external advisors that we have and keep conversations with to make sure we're all getting the best perspective on how we get this company to not only be sustainable, but also grow and reach the maximum number of people it can.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that sounds like it's an approach that's working, and it sounds like you are able to talk about the financial parts. You've got some rules of how you engage that make sense, and also just staying in the money enough to explore all the different avenues of growth are really important.
Right.
Yeah. Good. All right. Is there anything else you would like to share about your journey so far and how you've kind of integrated self-love into the work culture in your relationship with each other and how you're parenting and also how you're working with your partners? I guess we haven't really talked about that. How does that show up when you're setting good boundaries for yourself and you're really doing things that are kind of good for you?
Go ahead. I think with our, with our team, especially with COVID, we've all sort of been sort of dispersed and working remotely. And so I know Samir does check-ins with a few of our teammates. I do check-ins with some of our other teammates. And during those times, we try to give space to, like I was saying before, just kind of get to know each other at a deeper level, more than just the surface of, okay, what did you do today and what's next for you and where can I help? But really encourage their interests. Like just this morning, I did a phone call with our graphic design lead, and she was talking about some new books she was reading. And I was then sharing a book that I thought was similar for her to look up later, and some meditations from Insight Timer. And so I think that kind of stuff, like recognizing that there's more to us than our, you know, college degrees and the expertise that we have signed up to bring to the table for Habitware, but there's also so much more to us that we can bring to the table. And then I think from a home perspective, we've, through COVID, just trying to embrace more outdoor time, which then, you know, you don't see the mess at home, which is fabulous. And you kind of get away and you get that healthy exercise, not just for your physical body, but also your mind's kind of, at least for me, sort of quiets a little bit more when it's in nature. You can't really, you know, just in the last few weeks, we've figured out that there's skiing 15 minutes away in Bloomington. And so you can't really, at least for myself, you can't think about all the other stuff that you need to do when you're flying down a mountain and need to turn.
Yeah, right. You have to stay focused in the present moment.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think just from a team perspective, kind of just giving that grace and recognizing like, yeah, you know, 2020 is throwing lots of curveballs and it's not like they're going to stop now that it's a new year. And just making sure that our team knows that it's really not about when things get done, but that they're getting done timely, effectively, productively. But, you know, if you need to go for a doctor's appointment or something happens with your kids or whatever, like that stuff takes precedence in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a book that I've been thinking about. I just got it. It's called Beyond Entrepreneurship, B 2.0 by Jim Collins. His partner in crime, Bill Lazier, had passed away, and this is kind of, he put his name on the as a co-author because it's kind of the founding work that they've done together in a prior book. He was, Jim Collins wrote Good to Great. Have either one of you had a chance to read it?
I've definitely skimmed it or read parts of it.
Okay, Good to Great, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, his new B 2.0 or Beyond Entrepreneurship is turning your business into an enduring great company. What's cool about the book is he took some of the work from Good to Great, the concepts. They've been tested now for over 30 years. And he has it in a different color. It's more of a gray color in the book. So you can see what's new text and what is from Good to Great. So it takes the concepts and, you know, those of us familiar with it, you know, integrates it in a way. And if you're not, you still get a lot of value from it. But I think based on where you're at, I think it might be, it's just a book worth having and learning and taking the points from it because, you know, it's solidifying the core values. And he has what's called the map, what makes great companies tick in, and he has it in a chart that's easy to read about disciplined people, having disciplined thought, disciplined action, and how to build a lasting, enduring company. That I think as you're putting the infrastructure in the foundation of your business, these are some good concepts that have gone the test of time to put into place within your business. All right. So to end our wonderful conversation, I was thinking that I'd like to hear what you're both looking forward to this year.
Oh, I think we're probably on the same page with releasing Keen 2 to all of our pre-order customers who are super excited about it. And we are too. And then really, you know, continuing to build out the Keen 2 app to help people take control of these conditions, as well as looking to see how else we can apply not necessarily the technology, but this idea of the power of awareness for changing behavior and for pushing people to, like I said before, kind of pull the strength out from within themselves to make that change happen.
Excellent. And Samir?
Yeah, for sure. I would definitely echo all of that. I think for us, this product launch is the culmination of, you know, several years of effort to get the product that we've wanted out on the market. And it's not just the product, but also now the platform for us really to start expanding, expanding what we can help with. So beyond just body focus, repetitive behaviors, hair pulling, nail biting, skin picking, how do we, I think it'll be interesting. We have a number of projects lined up. And so I think we just have to pick, we're still mm-hmm. picking which one we want to focus on next. So it's very exciting. It's almost like, a new startup that mm-hmm. will happen, after we ship this product and get it out there.
Oh, excellent. All right. Excellent. And I like what you've got on your website too about this product, kind of record, remind, respond, and retrain. You can be in charge of your brain. I just mm-hmm. kind of added that last part in there. Sounded kind of fun to rhyme. Well, thank you so much for being so open and vulnerable with myself and our listeners and sharing what your experience has been with your entrepreneurial venture, what your experience has been in partnering together and having other partners, and also how you're adding self-love into the work culture to really bring everything together in a cohesive way, and you can really build an enduring company with that as a foundation.
Thank you so much for having us and for your votes of confidence and positivity and putting good vibes out there for us in terms of that goal of being an enduring company that's here to help people. We really appreciate that love and support.
Really enjoyed the conversation, Nancy, and appreciate you having us on.
Okay, thank you so much. Thanks, listeners, for tuning in. Thank you, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère de notre mère. And we'll see you all next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to evolve yourself as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. We've been doing this kind of work since 1992, helping small business owners and emerging entrepreneurial leaders with self-leadership mastery, business ownership success, and that leads to life success. We focus on the dual innovation journey of reinventing yourself as you redesign your business. We do this with one-on-one strategic mentoring sessions. We have several types of labs that you can participate in with your other peers. Both our entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab, which you can really get into the crux of how to run your business more effectively and become more competent. We have meaningful conversations that help with developing a culture that will work for you. I do weekly meditation and yoga that you can participate in to evolve yourself as you redesign your business. You can also sponsor this podcast. We're always looking for people to support our programming, build out our programming with us, and I especially love promoting you. You can get involved in all those different areas because when we mentor, you design a better life, a more fulfilling future as an entrepreneurial leader / innovator, as a competent business owner / practitioner, as a mentor / role model, and as a human being and master of self. Every client starts with a desire to shift something, clarify something, overcome challenges, grow profitability. We started with one entrepreneur. We've mentored thousands. We're ready to work with you. When you show up, we're here. So to get started, go to wementor.com. You can also call me at 612-804-8920, or you can reach me through email, nancy@wementor.com. Get ready and take the next step today.